Good morning, afternoon, night, or any other time of day you may be listening to this, and welcome back to God, Dicks, and Puns. My name is Sam, and as usual, I will be your DM for this particular podcast. I'm a bit giddy this week, and that is because this week is a big one. That's right, wonderful things have been happening this week. What might you ask? Well, my very fine listener, we have been posting amazing handcrafted art of every single PC on all our social media. Our most generous and talented artist, Sab, has been very hard at work creating these, and you can find Astrid, Detloff, Devlak, and even Suzette on Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit. Just search God Dicks Puns on any of those and you are sure to find us, except on Reddit where I made a mistake and added to S. To God. Oops. Anyways, please go check out her Etsy. That's etsy.com/shop/oneofakindbysab. Again, etsy.com/shop/oneofakindbysab. And check her out for her stuff. She is incredibly talented. Also, you can find her link on all our social media as well. So that's a one-stop shop for all of you guys. But please go support her. She has done amazing work. Now, enough of your time has been taken by my rant. Let's get you to the episode and what you've been looking forward to. Please enjoy episode 16, The Evil Beneath Sandpoint.
Recap of the last session, you guys plowed through CR2 encounters like if they were CR1 half.
Your mom.
God damn it, did you really go there?
I'm surprised it took long for him to.
When I start playing with new people, I'm more timid with my comments, and it took me a while to get to your mom jokes.
Plow through. Our tank is quite hurt.
We have a tank?
Yes.
I think he's more like a barbarian frontliner without rage and bigger claws.
Yeah, he's quite hurt, actually.
We still have a thing that's in our face, don't we?
Yes. That thing actually had just screamed. I think Astrid is still paralyzed for a round.
It tried to kiss him, but missed.
It kissed her. She just saved. I essentially explained to you guys what would have happened if she would have failed that save, and I'm really goddamn happy she did not fail that save. Otherwise, yeah, Suzette, it is your turn. You see this big head with wings that just bit... That just kissed Astrid smack dab on the lips, and Astrid even has some gray, slimy matter all across the lower half of her face. What do you do?
Well, I'm within 5 feet of it, right?
You are.
All right. I'm going to full attack it with my rapier and a cat claw.
Go for it.
Am I technically flanking, or am I not flanking?
You are not flanking.
Okay. So first is going to be 1d20 plus 6, 17 to hit, 17 to one hit. Short from a crit, but it's 23 total, sorry, 23 total.
Ah, you rolled a 17, okay, yeah. You hit.
Do I roll both attacks first, or do I roll damage for this one?
Roll both attacks.
Okay, so the claw attacks, taking a negative because I've got my buckler, so I'm not... doing that.
I think you take like a negative 4 on your claw attacks, or negative 3 now?
Well, yeah, but the bonus to it is just it ends up being plus 1.
Oh, okay, yeah.
16 to hit.
You hit with both attacks. Roll your full damage.
Alright, so it's going to be 1d6 plus 4 plus 1d4. I believe that's total. 11 damage total.
11 damage. This thing takes the hits right in the back of the head, which is just essentially all its body, and you rake it, you actually pierce through it, your blade comes out its mouth, and you see this thing coughs up darkish blood, and this thing is bloodied. You heard it good.
Nice.
Devlak, you feel inspired after seeing Sue damage this thing very considerably. You have Regis and Detloff, your new friend, in the way. What do you do?
I right here. And he gonna roll, try to hit creature with some fire burning stuff.
You're gonna throw some vibe on each day?
Yeah.
I'll take one moment. I need to go get my dice.
What the hell did his t-shirt say? I run naked.
I mean, that might be what it says.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, it says I run naked.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
It's naked. I run naked. Who cares about what it says in the middle?
Yeah,
that's why I bought this shirt. I love it. I just love it so much.
How have I never seen you wear that shirt?
Because I usually only wear it when I work out.
It is a touch attack, which Mrs. Surivle is at. Spin fireball. Oh.
Roll a d2. Tell me your result, and then roll again. Because that was a fumble.
Yep. So a 2.
Okay. Roll your full attack again. What's your total?
12.
2. Does 12. A 12 hit your touch AC?
No, it does not.
Lucky you. Sue, you see a firebolt, I'm guessing?
Yes.
You see a bolt of fire just whiz by your head and actually probably singes a few hairs on your cheek, and your ear actually just whoop, folds right back in as it's floating by, and you just see Devlak. Like,
hey. Sorry, I sneezed.
Darling, I know I'm hot, but you don't have to set me on fire.
Detlef, you just saw this light show in front of you.
I'm going to step over here, and I'm going to cast Acid Splash.
Alright, another range touch.
Does a 23 hit touch AC?
Yeah, with a natural 19, you hit. Roll for damage.
Alright, prepare for this. I do 1 acid damage.
You actually hit the thing in the mouth, and you see most of your acid just start pouring out where Sue's blade poked a hole through it, and it doesn't take that much damage.
Just get in range of attack for it?
Unless you have reach, no. He can't melee attack it because it is stuck there, and that's a fountain in the middle. He can't really, like... Well, if you can get a really good acrobatics, I can let you get on top and maybe try one swipe, but you risk falling prone afterwards.
I'm gonna try an acrobatic.
Sure, it is gonna be quite a high DC.
Oh, well, I already said yes.
By the way, for Acid Splash, if I recall, if you use a flask of acid as a catalyst, it adds an automatic 1 to your damage.
I'll look up to get that kind of item. Regis is actually going to try to not attack this turn, but just climb the fountain to not stumble and fall. He'd see that it looked tough to climb. Does either Astrid or Sue look hurt?
3 points of damage. That's all I've got.
I'm going to rectify something. Can Regis, for this turn, this would be his turn, try to swap places with Astrid?
I know that there's a displacement mechanic, but I think it takes multiple turns. You can't... It's like you essentially need to grapple her, and then you need to spend another CMD check to move her.
You would walk up, do the standard action to grab me, and then next turn, standard action to move me, and then you would have a movement action next turn, essentially.
Peace.
I was trying to look up online if you could occupy multiple creatures can occupy the same square, but I'm not getting any luck.
The only way I would see for multiple creatures to occupy the same space would be one large creature and one tiny creature, except for the fact that the large creature can't step on the tiny creature. But right now Regis getting in range is going to be very, very much so difficult. You can prepare an action.
Yeah, he's going to prepare an action to swipe at the head if it moves in range.
Sounds good. Astrid, you're paralyzed.
Yep.
This thing... Astrid is paralyzed. It knows this. It just gave her a kiss. So Astrid is essentially helpless. It couldn't coup de grâce.
Coup de grâce, I'm pretty sure it provokes attacks of opportunity, though.
Does it?
I think it does. I'm not 100% sure because it's a full round action, but...
It also knows that it's getting attacked from behind.
Yeah, it does. How intelligent is this thing? Oh, okay, never mind. Now with that type of intelligence, okay, it's going to turn towards Sue. It has an intelligence of 5. So yeah, it's not going to attack the thing that it knows it can hit. Yeah. It's going to attack the thing that hurt it.
For future reference, delivering a coup de grâce provokes attacks of opportunity from threatening creatures.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Good thing you guys talked me out of it.
I mean, you could still try and do coup de grâce, but then I'd be able to stab it.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to turn towards Sue and going to try to bite her.
I'm going to spend immediate action to spend 1 panache point to move back 5 feet. And I was going to get my charisma mod
against,
but that's going to be a total of, oh shoot, I used that hand with my buckler. So 18 plus 3, 21 is what hits me. Shit, it still hits me.
So it is going to hit you for a huge amount of 2 points of damage.
Also, wait, was the door open there, or if not?
That door was still closed.
Okay.
Please roll a fortitude save.
So I quickly checked the rules. You can end your turn in someone else's square if they're considered helpless.
Ah, okay. So in that case, we just could have I've gotten there.
Yeah, it's so, really weird, though.
Yeah.
That's a big 4.
Oh, okay. So you failed. It was a DC 12. Now I gotta find exactly what that thing does.
Oh God.
I know the effect. It's fine.
Is it fine? Is it really?
You got bit. You got hurt, and you failed the fortitude save. That's all you know. Sue, your turn.
All right, then I will 5 foot step back in and full round attack.
Do it. Roll to hit.
I mean, you've seen swashbucklers in movies. You know how they work. All right, so it's going to be plus 6 to hit again. Oh, wait, wonderful. 9.
You miss. It just floats above you.
It's my claw. 17 to hit.
I imagine that was Slimer.
17 to hit?
Yeah.
You hit. Roll for damage with your claw.
2.
2 points of damage. Okay, well, you rake it across the body or the face. You're more disturbed by the fact that you have gray stuff under your nails now compared to it by the damage you just dealt it. Devilak, who just muted himself.
Devilak sneezed last time. It was absolutely a mistake. So Devilak, you're going to try again.
If you roll a 1 again, I'm going to laugh so hard.
Sue's just dodging again. God damn it, Devlock!
Another dodging panache.
Oh my god! No!
That's a natural 20. Well, to confirm.
Devlock, preparing himself, says, oh shit, they're bigger than I expected.
And now he's rolling. That's what you said.
God damn it, Nathan.
Sorry, that's too good.
Confirm. Oh.
Dear Lev, you're not used to throwing such big things and handling such big things.
Nathan?
It's unwieldy.
But only half of the big thing hits the target. So because of that...
What was your total, Oscar?
It was a 9.
Okay, no, you do not hit.
So David throws his big-ass fire thing. Half of the big thing hits the flying thing. And now he rolls for damage. Awkwardly, not properly rolling.
Oh my god. Ooh!
Now,
nice.
How do you want to do this?
So, what happened is the big thing that was supposed to hit in the end actually hit most of the thing and it burns the wings off, but strangely enough, the face is still intact. Except, it kind of looks tanner now. It looks like it had a bit of a tanning session.
Oh my god. You burn its wings off and the rest looks a nice golden brown, almost fried.
Exactly.
Like a marshmallow over the campfire.
Smells like chicken.
You handled really well that combat that could have ended easily in a character death.
Yay.
Because of the shit on the kiss attack. I do want to detail the room again, because I don't know how much we spoke about that last time.
That was a knowledge dungeoneering to identify the creature. I doubt that worked. 14.
14, you do get it. I just want to verify if it's the proper type of thing, type of knowledge that you rolled. Because I know that specific knowledges are for specific types of creatures. I do not think you did the proper type of check. Nope, you don't get anything from a knowledge engineering. Roll knowledge planes.
Oh, geez, well, hey.
With who you are.
Yeah, 20.
20, okay. This creature is called a Vargoyle. Essentially Gargoyle, but with a V instead of the G at the start.
Which planes do they come from?
They come from the fiendish outer planes, where they flop and flap through strange and haunted skies in constant search of fresh souls to torment. In these nightmare realms, they play a role similar to that of a raven or a vulture, although they augment these roles with a malevolent delight in causing pain and anguish that no scavenger bird can ever hope to match.
So it's not a specific fiend, it's not fiend daemon or
devil? It is just a Vargoyle CR2. It's something that essentially is in the outer planes. It's essentially like between spaces, and it just tries to essentially vulture its way through undeath. Well, it's not even undeath. It's just through existence.
It's just a shit bird.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's a shithead.
Fiends are a special kind of undead, kind of. Technically, in a way, undead, but not.
Because they're just an outsider. They're not even an undead or a fiend or a demon. It's just an outsider.
Trying to pick up Astrid right now, by the way.
Astrid by now is, your action is done. Devlak's action is done. Essentially, there's only Regis and Detlafcat that could act before she loses her paralysis.
Oh.
Only paralyzed for 2 rounds.
Okay, well, right now I'm busy studying the creature, trying to figure out what it is and figure out that it's a Vargoyle?
Gargoyle? Replace the first G with a V.
Regis is, kind of just shaking Astrid, see if she moves, and, poking her, just like, huh? Hmm?
Nothing happened. You hear gurgling and groaning.
Hand on the shoulder and just going
Yeah, gurgling, groaning is all you hear from Astrid. Like something steam is building up, almost.
What did you roll on, remind me what you rolled on your knowledge check, planes?
20.
Okay, is there anything specific you want to know?
Are they usually alone?
Nothing would lead you to believe that they move in packs.
Okay. Is there such a thing as a dangerous kiss that will slowly turn you into a creature as your head detaches from your body and starts flying and becomes a creature?
Yes, and I'll refer you to last episode for that type of information.
Ask about it bite. Ask about its bite.
Oh yeah. Is there anything dangerous about its bite?
Yes, the bite can apply a poison that essentially the poison has a DC 12 save, and the only thing that happens with that type of poison is that the damage caused by the bite can only be healed with magic if the spellcaster succeeds on a DC 20 cast level check.
Oh, so I should mark that 3 damage can only
two
be healed by 2 damage? 2.
You succeeded your DC 16 life or death save. She failed her DC 12 permanent damage save.
As he's looking down at the creature, he sees you as you've been bit and looks at your arm and goes,
"You're fucked."
This is going to need special attention. How's she?
By the time your character's acting, I can move.
I try and help you up anyway. I offer you a hand.
Was I still standing or was I lying down because of my paralysis?
I think you're still standing up because nobody entered your square. You didn't get attacked, so you're just like...
Had he been on the ground, Regis could have stepped over you. Is there a way for me to know whether or not the kiss worked on Astrid?
Heel check?
By pulling her hair.
Pulls her hair harder.
Astrid, I'm going to need you to listen to me for a moment.
Is this a cat fight?
I'm not familiar with the terminology of a cat fight. Is this when two cats fight each other?
Well, my character says, I am slightly offended about this comment.
Oh my god.
It is what my friend from back home told me. Is like, listen, Devla, if you ever see two girls fighting, it's called a cat fight because of the fact that they are fighting like cats. That is what my friend told me.
Well, I am not female, nor am I a cat, so I don't believe this would be cat fight. In any case, I need to verify something here. It's
okay, I mentioned that to Astrid. She tells you, give me a second. She pulls out her flail and starts smashing the head into paste. Loud grunting noises and disgruntled noises on top of it as she smashes it into the paste.
Please, you may not be safe yet.
9 damage to its corpse. She smashes it 2 more times.
It's a mulch. I mean, there is now just gray matter everywhere, and you don't know if it's skin, teeth, bone, tongue, brain.
I put my hand on your shoulder.
Okay.
This creature is quite dangerous, and it kissed you.
Yes!
It is the worst thing it can do.
Can't even imagine the taste.
yeah, I see she's a little pale, and she looks like she's going to be sick.
Do you have a helmet on?
No.
Okay. I'm going to need you to pull your hair.
Susa, can I do it?
Can I do it? And she's like, I'm assuming this is for medical purposes.
It absolutely is. If your hair is pulled out, it is terrible news.
She just starts pulling on her hair like she was like pulling twigs and stuff out of it.
He goes and grabs just a little tuft of your hair and goes, I'm going to go pull. And he pulls not too hard, not to hurt you, not to rip the hair out, but like to see.
Yeah,
like,
she goes like this.
Well, that is good news for now, but I'm not sure exactly how long is the onslaught, so we'll need to make sure your hair does not start
falling. Elaborate, then.
I can pull the next time.
If your hair starts pulling out, then your life is in more than just danger.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I said we're gonna check your hair later. As a player, I know he passed the roll. As a character, I don't know that.
Yeah.
As for you, Sue, that bite of yours is not going to heal up.
Oh.
It will need magical attention.
I am.
And then magical attention needs to be quite powerful as well. You need to succeed a DC 20 caster level check, which is not easy.
Yeah, I would have to roll a d20 and then at least a... What level are we?
You're level 2, so you need to roll an 18 at the very minimum for her to heal from that damage.
Even magical healing will have difficulty healing such a wound. It has on the resistance.
Sue, as someone who knows nothing about magic, says, so I can't just chug this potion and be fine?
No.
Well, it's technically magical healing. It's just that there's a good chance it won't overcome the spell resistance or whatever it is. I think.
To drink a potion, can't you roll a caster level? Even if you don't have one, the potion itself has a caster level check.
Yeah.
Yes, we can, and I would have to roll that roll, and it's going to have to be a natural 19 or a 20 to...
It's a very high chance.
Yeah.
It's more just out of curiosity if I chug a potion the next, you know, several minutes in the dungeon, if it's going to be relevant or not.
Yeah. All right. So all of that just happened. You guys are now standing in the middle of a room with a puddle of monster, and you've had your discussion. What do you do now? You have...
I look down the well.
It's just a pool. It's a just a fountain of water that doesn't that does not seem to be friendly. But actually, okay, no, never mind. It's not. No, that that water actually looks very, very crisp and clean.
I am not going to drink out of it, but I am going to grab one of my vials, and I am going to fill it with the water that's inside.
Roll a knowledge arcana, Remy.
I cast guidance on myself and Remy. Or
You can cast guidance on him before his roll, so he can. Well, and you can do it on yourself too. Yeah, essentially, sure, you both get a plus one,
right?
Yeah. Natural 20. I'm going to give it to you.
27 hours.
This pool is essentially just affected by some spell that you don't know that magically replenishes and purifies the water of this fountain.
Oh.
Oh.
So there, if you were to cast it, detect alignment, this wouldn't even detect as evil, and it looks like probably the cleanest water you've ever seen.
What about a spellcraft check on it?
You're not going to get anything because I told you everything that's in the book.
My character would think that this water is as safe as it gets, right?
This water is probably better than most of the water you drank your entire life.
All right. I look at the water. Well, it seems like we have quite the pure water here. So if you want to wash your wounds or wash your...
I was going to ask if I could use it to wash my wounds, and you might have, you still have a little something, I'm sorry to say, Astridge, but you've got a little something, like, right here.
Roll a perception.
I rolled my 1d20 minus 3, I rolled a 19, but I got 16. See, Devlak has a plus 13, he can roll a 1, he gets 14.
Well, that was Regis, not me. I believe I don't have the phone. Yeah. So, here's me. Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't really matter, but essentially, you looking around, you guys taking the time to look at the walls, look at the fountain, the doors, everything, you guys spot every now and then a few scribbles on the wall, like if it just gets written as you look at it, but as soon as you say, like, hey! What's that? As soon as somebody looks, it's gone. And all of you get that at one point or another, that like you yourself see a scribble, but nobody else sees it at that point. And you're not able to identify what language or what's written. It's way too quick. So you guys are now getting quite stuffy in this room. You have an open door to your back and a closed door to your front. You're hearing no noises around you whatsoever, except for the rippling of the water in the fountain while you guys are washing off your blood and the grime.
So it didn't affect Sue's infernal wounds as far as I'm going to consider them.
No.
Oh, I didn't think it would either, but
I wanted to try. Okay, Sue, since you're closest to that door, do you mind giving it old turnaroo?
All right, daddy, Aphrodite. She turns it open.
My character explodes. God damn it.
All right.
Never heard you say that before, Nathan?
No, I have no idea.
Oh.
All right. So you guys open the door and you see another hallway leading up.
Well, I start slowly going that way.
You hear no noises or anything, and it's just a normal wooden door with scribbles that...
No. Stop for a second. Sue's about to open it, and she's like, wait, I remember there's something to do with doors, and someone can do something. I don't know. I think I'm wise enough to what someone can do. What was it? You're like, Deathlack, what do we do at doors again?
Well, while you're doing that, I'm casting guidance and resistance on myself and you. I'm just like, giving you a look at the time.
Then she sees you. All right, you can do that thing. All right. And she moves away and lets you look at the door.
And I'm just like, yeah, that thing that I do, I'll do it right now, but I can do it right now, but I'm not going to bother. I just open the door.
Oh.
All right. You open the door and you see a staircase leading up. A flight of spiral stairs winds up around a circular pillar into the darkness.
Hmm. So we have a set of doors over there that goes up. We got a set over here that goes down. We've got some other things back some ways. I don't remember where.
These one here lead up. The other ones over yonder lead down.
And there's some other place that we hadn't examined.
Yeah.
Let's examine these ones right now, right here.
Yeah, fuck it.
Oh my.
You go up the stairs and quite rapidly you notice that there's a... that it caved in, but it's relatively solid, so you can't go further up than about 10 feet up the stairs. You do see some bits of light coming through the amalgam of stone and clay and rock. You would assume these help to keep relatively fresh air in this area, but I don't think you'd feel comfortable trying to dig your way through any of this.
It'd be quite a hassle. We can probably leave this to the last thing we want to do if we're going to do something here.
Quite a hassle, and I mean, it's huge rocks right above your head. Do you want to try your luck?
Not yet.
Well, yeah, essentially you guys just run the hell down to the only part of the dungeon you haven't explored yet.
Well, we haven't gone this way yet. We looked at it and we were like, we're not going to go down.
Yeah.
My character kind of like stick to the wall over here and avoids that pedestal.
Before we go down here, I want to check in on the characters to see HP-wise and spell-wise, how are you guys doing? So, Sue, what's your status?
My status, dear boy, dear God, is, let me take a look. I'm at 14 out of 19 HP, two of which will not be healed. And in terms of non-magical but special abilities and stuff, I've got one last use of Charm Life. I really want to try and pass a save. I still have my Cat's Grace for a reflex save. And I have 3 out of my 5 panaches.
Oh, 5 panache. Okay, that's more than what I was expecting.
Yeah, I've got 5 panache because I'm a Inspired Blade Swashbuckler, so I add my Charisma and my Int modifier.
Ah, okay. Yep. All right. Devle, how's your little self doing, Randy?
Devlet currently has full hit point with 15 out of 15 hit point and still has 2 spells of first level, the mighty famous Agoberry, the Fairy Fire spell. He also has this spell that is from a domain known as Burning Hands. You might have heard of it. This spell that spreads fire like crazy. There's also 7 out of 10 uses for Devlak of the spell Firebolt, or the spell-like ability, pardon me. Wow. And that means that Devlak is still well ready for a fight.
Nice. Not too bad. Astrid, yourself.
Sit rep is, I have currently all my spells. Both my first level spells, 9 out of 12 HP. And I think I've used my look through doors thing 3 times and my granted power 2, but they're 6 each, so I'm not too worried about
it. Okay.
You only have 12 HP.
Yeah, I did not roll well. And my HD is only 8 and I have no con bonus.
All right. And Detloff, how are you and Regis doing?
Detloff is at a whopping 19. Somehow I'm the tankiest.
Fucking hell. Wow.
I don't know how. I have 1 spell left, and Regis is bloodied with 7 health out of 8 HP.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun.
And Regis does not heal naturally.
And does anybody have any sort of healing items? How's our cleric on healing?
I can use my aura bursts. I forgot about that.
I have first potion of cure, moderate, and 1 of my spells can heal my Adela.
Okay. What's your aura burst, Nathan?
Channel energy.
Oh, okay. Alright, so you guys aren't half bad. Before we move on, I do want to remind you in what room you are. The tunnel widens here into what happens to have... and what appears to have once been a small shrine, for to the northeast steps lead up to a platform of gray stone. Sitting on top of the platform is an ancient fucking hell altar, little more than a jagged block of black marble with a shadow concavity on top of it. The basin is filled with what appears to be filthy water. You are essentially in a fairly large open room, and you have a set of double doors leading to something that you don't know. You haven't opened it, and you don't hear much in terms of noise in this room. Talk to me about party order before you go towards that door.
Because we're in a bad area and some of us are a little hurt, I do use a channel energy.
Okay, so wait, do you roll your...
I will roll a caster level as well for that. Not that I have a good chance for that. Oh, fuck me! You gotta say that you're gonna fail, apparently, to succeed.
Wait, but is it caster level 20 or 21?
It's caster level 20.
I did roll a 20 on the caster level check. And everybody heals 3.
So Sue's permanent damage is no longer permanent.
Not that I know
Yay.
Of
yet.
Well, you would see
your... You know of it, you're healing.
Yeah, I still have 2 damage left, so...
Well, you would see the bite marks start to heal up somewhat, and some of your other scratches also heal up a significant amount.
All right, so I see you do that. I'm like, well, are we expecting something? No, what's going on? Should I be worried?
Well, has an evil aura around here. I was kind of hoping to do 3-in-1, heal everybody, remove your wounds, and maybe do something to that altar. But it didn't do much to that altar, so it's just a 2 for... Some of us need healing, and as I look at Regis, he apparently can't heal on his own, so I thought I would touch him up, since he seems to be taking all the damage.
Well, what if we try and burn the altar? And she, like, digs into her bag for a second. She takes out, like, some oil and, like, takes out a little bit of cloth.
We'll do that at the end when we don't plan on being in here for very long, because that might choke us out.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
So I'm here with my glaive ready.
I can open the door if it's unlocked.
Wait, no. It's a double door. Okay, that looks important. It's a double door, because none of the other doors have been double. So I
voice that out loud, or
I'm actually asking you guys, since at the double door that actually looks important, so I will use my ability on it.
If you say that, I start taking out my oil of blessed weapon from my bag, and like I put it in like a bit of a little pocket to make it easier to get to, instead of it being in my
bag. You gotta move out of the way so I can look through it.
Oh, sorry.
Spank you. my character doesn't say that. God damn it. I use my door sight on it. Take a minute. Which wax on, wax off, wax on. Even the doors to that weird floating bullshit didn't have a double door. That's really...
My character's like, well, should we break out some of our little surprises and our little little things? Because I got a few surprises in here. And she starts like rummaging through her bag again.
I don't know yet, because I haven't got to see through it.
All right. Well, she puts it back on her back for now.
While did you mention it? I do have this, and you see, Devil like has a bear trap in his hand.
Why do you have a fucking bear trap?
Sue's impressed.
Where, for hunting purposes, of course.
That is
a good point. Yeah.
Why's the tool there?
How far do you see with your clairvoyance thing, Nathan? Regular sight or?
Regular sight, just a second.
So you would see 60 feet, I'm guessing?
Just a second. I have to keep... Okay, so Pathfinder.
I know it doesn't give you dark vision.
That's still priceless. I look through the door. What do I see? It's dark.
Actually, yeah, I've done that to some of my players. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, I loved it so much.
Someone has a emulich in there, and they're like, oh, what's in there? He pokes his eye, and he's a stupid human. And he's like, you see nothing! Because it's too dark for you to see in there. God damn it!
even myself, I was like, oh, fucking hell, so I'm not going to be able to hide anything behind doors. Wait, she's human. All right, so looking
in... It's an invisible magical sensor that the specific location labels to hear or see your choice. It's all picking C at this point. Almost as if you were there, you don't need line of sight. That doesn't apply. Place familiar to, that doesn't apply. But you can rotate it in direction. God damn, this thing is not very helpful.
I'm going to say that you can see for just your normal vision, so 60 feet-ish.
See what's on the other side. That's all it says.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say 60 feet-ish. Anyways, all you see is some level of orange light at the end of the room. And how long do you look through the door for? Like, is it just like, okay, or do you just spend
it lasts time? For 10 minutes.
Yeah, but how long do you spend looking through the hole?
I'm gonna do a perception check on that orange glow, because I have so far it's all been darkness every fucking time. So I'm gonna check a good look. I'm gonna got a 14 to spot what that glow is.
It's an orange light. That's all you see. Like, you know, like, imagine light that, like, you know, if you're looking at a surface that's covered in water and there's a light underneath that pool, and you just see like little rays of light going through steam. That's essentially all you see. And it's not very, very potent, but you do see some level of orange light. And as I said, do you spend one round, two rounds, three rounds, four rounds looking through that door? How long do you spend?
I spent that one round looking at that light. I got a 14. I got that weird glow. I'm going to do the old... If there's enough room under the door again, I'm going to try the old rock under with light under the door.
Okay, you do the rock under the door roll. You rolled a 14 in your perception, right?
Yeah, on my first perception.
I'll give you another perception check. You got a 17? You saw something, just a small thing moving in the air, but it was too quick for you to actually perceive it.
Probably a bat. Probably another one of those fucking flying things, actually, now I think about it.
Roll a knowledge nature.
Do roll 18, but it's actually a 10.
Okay, a 10, so it's bigger than... It looked to be slightly bigger than a bat. Roll a knowledge planes as well, if you have it.
I'm only going to get a 10 max.
Okay, you don't... Never mind.
Another 8! Oh my god!
Alright, so that's all you see.
I tell them there's like something that's a little bit bigger than a bat that flew around that really quickly, so it could be another one of those. And she like grumbles, pieces of shit.
Well, she was like, "All right, then, let's get Moses." And she takes out a weapon cord, ties it around her wrist, and ties it around her weapon.
Does the rock, the light under the door, help at all? Like for the room looks like.
Sorry, it actually gives you 30 feet, right?
Yeah, it's like a shitty torch. It's like a torch. Sorry, not a shitty torch.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to reveal the whole damn shabab to everybody, because that's how you'd see it. This huge room looks like nothing more than an immense underground cathedral. Stone doors stand to either side of the main entrance, but beyond this, the walls are carved with strange spiky runes. In the center of the room is a large pool with a ring of polished human skulls balanced on stone spikes arranged in a circle around the deeper midsection. You see the orange glow at the end of the room. That's essentially what you see for now. You also see one of the synthcons lurking around this pool in the middle of this grandiose area.
I do give them the layout of what the room looks like, essentially saying it's, as far as I can tell, it's, let's see here, roughly 30 feet by what I can see is about 30 feet because the light gives out. And there's a sin spot in there, pool in the center with a circle, a ring of skulls in the center of that, inside that water pool. There's a door on the left.
Are you still looking inside the room while you're describing all of that?
Yeah, pretty much.
You notice the Sin Spawn start moving towards the rock, and it stops exactly where it is.
Where my glowing rock is?
Yeah. It stops there, and you find it curious that it stops there, but...
Seems to be obsessed with my glowing rock.
If it was obsessed by that, I mean, I've got an idea on how we could get it startled on the first round.
Well, we didn't have a problem with the first one. I think we just...
Yeah, but, I mean, and she pulls out a small paper candle firework.
I let go of the door, so I lose sight of what's on the other side. I let her go.
My character was gonna pass it to you so we could light it and you could throw it where it was so we could see it. Okay, well, we can just charge in and hit it.
Yeah, do that. I'll back you up.
Talk to me about party order as you're moving in.
Well, I have a suggestion which puts only me in immediate danger, but seeing as I've been untouched mostly so far, we could set up an ambush with me as bait.
Well, I mean, darling, I don't mean to say anything, but we don't need you getting hurt for no reason.
I didn't say that. I'm only saying that you, all of you, hide on the sides of this room. I will open the door with my spell and attract its attention as it rushes to me, and I am capable of defending myself.
Are you wearing any shields or anything? Sue's like, I could pass my buckler if you want.
You guys have been planning this out for a little while now. I'll actually have you roll initiative, and I want you guys to act in order of your turns.
Yeah,
sure.
I'll say I'm good.
All right.
13 for me. I don't move, actually. I stay at the same initiative.
I go down by one, so I'll just change that.
I'm even slower.
All right, so what we plan on doing then is something like this. So you've got a reach thing, so you want to hide behind me, and I'll be right here.
Or she could hide on the other side of the wall where it's hiding too hard because of the slope, but with her reach weapon, she'll be able to.
I don't think she wants to be beside the evil thing.
No, I'm going to be good to kill it.
Regis is going to try to hide in the slope of this wall. And yeah, I'm going to stand right here.
So essentially, you guys want to try to lure it out.
Yeah, and that the moment it passes by the others, they will attack it. So we can try and get a surprise attack on him.
I've got a 9 for stealth check.
I'm not even going to bother. I'm standing still. I'm not moving, and I'm behind a wall, so...
I've now just got a ready action to hit it the second it walks by with my rapier.
Actually, I might actually have to be here.
And how do you guys open the door?
I will try to use my spell. If it doesn't work and it's locked, then we'll have to...
Okay,
we're gonna start doing that right now.
You guys have prepared your actions.
No,
Regis is preparing an attack.
Devlet going to burn one of his spells and summon Nature Ally at one.
Are you sure you want to do this? We've dealt with many of these creatures, and with this ambush, it might not survive, even making its way to me.
You know what? That is a fair point. Instead, Devlet's going to prepare a classic fireball. You never know, maybe it's going to be one of the big ones.
If we see more inside, then I'm sure that such an ally can be very useful.
I'm prepping my fire stuff.
Well, if you're going to stand here, just make sure to stand behind me so it doesn't attack you. Everybody ready?
Yes, and
Alright,
can be.
Moment of truth, open, close. If the door is unlocked, it'll open.
The double door is open. The Sin Spawn looks through the opening. You see it try to move up, but...
I cast Acid Splash on it.
Roll to hit.
Does 12 hit touch AC?
12 hits, exactly. Roll for damage. One damage? Alright, noted.
And I shout, come and fight me, you sinful one.
You self goddamn cell phone.
I have to say this because now all the room is visible because of 60 feet dark vision.
Yep.
So at the far end of the room, a pair of stone stairways lead up to a pulpit on which sits a second pool, this one triangular and filled with churning, bubbling water that looks almost like translucent lava. Yet, while wisps of what look like heat and steam rise from the strange orange liquid, the room is deathly cold. And as your acid splash goes into the room and hits the synspawn, you see this little creature pop out of nowhere. This, you would know, is a quasit from Tsuto's journal. And you hear, as your splash hits the creature, you see this creature spawn, well, appear out of thin air, and she shrieks, "You're there to intrude upon the mother's sanctum!" She slashes her own wrist as her blood draws into the pool. As that happens, a creature springs out of this pool, and a second synspawn spawns out of the pool. This is when I would usually have you roll initiative, but given that you've all prepared your actions, as you hear this shriek, Remy, her voice starts to echo inside of Detlaf's head, and echo, and echo, and echo, and it starts to take over. You're not able to get this out of your head, and we quickly zoom into the pupil of Detlaf's eye, plunging deep into a dark land. We're wandering through. We're not exactly sure what we're looking for, but we are fixated towards a goal. Turning around, we see Detlaf walking. Alongside him, we see another figure, eerily similar to him, but quite distinct. Remy, what does this person look like?
Detlaf, back when he didn't have a beard, next to him stands another of similar height, also slightly younger by maybe a year or two. And the two of them look very, very similar. Almost like brother. Hell, like brothers. They are brothers. Every sense of the form, traveling the lands together.
Detlaf and Regis speak, laugh, talk about anything and everything. Blackout. We slowly start seeing a faint glow of light, recognizing facial traits in the glimmer of a campfire. These traits give way to two scared and bloodshot eyes, suddenly opening after a peaceful slumber, as we hear the screams of a man just off screen. Turning around, we see Regis being clawed, mutilated, and dilapidated by what we assume could be a shadow. As its claws dig in and out of Regis's flesh, the spattering blood seems to evaporate, merging with the dark mist of the shadow. Immobilized by fear, Detlaf, you feel powerless. You simply bear this sight, unable to move, unable to act. As the shadow, done with its prize, turns to face you, revealing a face that looks all too similar to one you've grown accustomed to. Zooming out of the eye, returning into this cold, dark environment, we see Detlaf is completely focused on Regis, having been convinced ever since ritual you used to bring him into existence. You were convinced that this was your brother. Now, you're not so sure. Looking at him, you blink. One second, you see the normal face. Another second, you see red eyes. You blink out, normal. Blink in, fangs. Blink out, normal. Blink in, red eyes and fangs. Taking almost a reptilian face. Being completely out of it, you and Regis are now shaken for two rounds. Suzette, it would be your turn.
Suzette is not aware of any of the stuff that just happened. So she's still waiting around the corner with her rapier ready for someone to walk by so she can stab it. So she wastes her turn waiting. Or I guess she still maintains a ready action to stab whatever flies by from the room.
Detlef, what would you and Regis do? Keep in mind, right now, your emotions are all fully kerfuckled.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm gonna do a ranged attack on that thing.
Alright. Roll to hit.
That's a 7.
Your acid just lands near where the open door is, and the creature just looks at it. And does Regis do anything, or he waits there?
He's holding his turn to attack.
All right. Deathlock, what do you do?
What Devla is going to do, she's going to advance. One. And he is going to... Three. In which direction are the doors open?
They're open in.
He is going to attempt... Oh. Is he able to hit this guy?
With what? An firebolt?
Yeah.
I would say yes. All right, it's quite hard to tell right now because of the grid and all that logistics crap.
He's going to summon nature's ally.
All right.
So that's going to be his round.
You summon a creature, the creature acts immediately.
Yep.
But isn't it a full round action to summon that creature so it spawns in next turn?
Yeah, so basically he's going to stay here.
All right. Now it's the turn of the new sin spawn that was brought in by this demon. And 5, 10...
He can spawn it within 30 feet. It takes, one round to summon. Oh, no, it's duration. Cast one round. Takes one round to cast it. And I'm pretty sure it acts immediately, so the creature can attack right away or act.
Yep.
All right.
Sorry, I had this issue with my campaign. I had to really learn about the thing, and when you're level 1 and 2 and they only last a round or two, it's really stupid that you start
that it would spend a round and just it makes sense, and honestly thank you for clearing that out because it could have been a source of kerfuckleness. Alright, Astrid, your turn.
Is the creature gonna attack?
The creature actually, no, it only moved, and I just realized it can use both its actions to move, so the sin spawn got closer and
I'm talking about Lax summoned creatures.
He spends a full round. It's going to come in next turn, and then it's going to be able to attack. It's going to have its full duration, right? It's not a standard action to summon, right?
That might be how they changed it. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to come in next turn, but it will have its full duration.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
What are you summoning, by the way, Oscar? Just for my sake.
A fire beetle.
A fire beetle. Alright.
If I heard that creature, I would have... Do I know what that thing is?
The little, demon? Do you have knowledge planes? Not trained, right?
I have it in my class list, but I do not have it trained.
Alright, you cannot identify what it is.
I did read through the book.
You read through it?
A little bit. We did go. I was one of the people that went through it a little bit.
And would you guys have discussed everything that was in the book, like every word that was in the book? You know what? Everybody roll a knowledge plane. Well, the ones who have it trained. So Detlef, roll a knowledge planes with your regular bonus, not with your shaken bonus. This would have happened much earlier when you guys actually went through the book. And this word would have...
About a nat 20.
Okay. You know that this is the Quasit that was referenced in Suto's journal, because Remy would have been able to, Detlef would have been able to discuss you what exactly a Quasit is, then the term for him having some meaning. And you know that Quasits are small demons. This is, by the way, is a tiny creature. It obviously can fly, having huge wings. Which makes me think I probably should have set a description of what you're seeing instead of just seeing like, here's what you see. Ram horns curl back from the twisted head of this tiny winged demon, and its body is thin and wiry. So you rolled nat 20 for a total of?
28.
I can give you quite a bit of information. Is there anything specific you want to know?
What's the most crucial thing I should know about it?
Weakness.
There are no specific weaknesses.
I was going to say, not necessarily a weakness, because demons rarely have weakness. Well,
It can cast invisibility at will.
Ah, oh, Jesus Christ.
It has DR 5 cold, iron, or good, and it is immune to electricity and poison. And that would be essentially the three most crucial things I can tell you about that. Actually, I can give you, you rolled so fucking high with that, I can give you another piece of useful information.
Should have went with blessed weapon.
Oh, well, I mean, Sue literally just mentioned earlier that she has a oil of blessed weapon on her and she tucked it back into her front pocket. So.
You would also know that it has fast healing too. Welcome to the boss fight.
And that's where we'll leave it for this week.